During the summers, we are preaching through the parables of Jesus, and we're doing it as a staff. So all of the guys on our pastoral staff will be getting an opportunity to preach this summer, and we're going to all preach on one of the parables of Jesus. Well, tonight we're really privileged to hear from Pastor Paul Bolivar. Brother Bolivar is doing an excellent job leading our Hispanic department. He and Amber have been with us for just over a year now, and it is amazing how the Lord is blessing and prospering and growing in our Spanish church. They really have been a gift to our church. They've been wonderful to work with as part of the staff team. And Brother Paul is a gifted and anointed preacher, and I know you're going to enjoy the message tonight.
Well, it was May 7th, 2019, B.C. That's before COVID is what I'm saying. And I was getting ready to get to bed after a long day of ministry and looking forward to the day off. And I got a call just before I went to bed, and it was from my youth pastor. And Brother Ronnie called me and he said, "Hey, Pastor Parada is out of town, and he usually goes to these things, but he asked me to go to this graduation. It's 2 hours away, and with L.A. traffic, I'm going to need someone for carpool." So he said, "My wife's supposed to accompany me, but she's sick and she's pregnant, and so she can't go with me. So I'm calling you, Paul," and he asked me if I could join him on this journey on my day where I had planned some other things. And I just got to be honest with you, my day off did not include 4 hours of driving through L.A. traffic. So I did think about it a bit, and I said, "Well, all right, I'll go. I'll be there. What time? 6 a.m. 6 a.m. All right, I'll be there." So May 8th, I attended the graduation. May 8th, I met my wife. And I often think, if I would not have accepted the invitation, you would see a very sad Paul tonight. I would have missed out on the greatest blessing this side of heaven. And I think tonight Jesus is going to invite us. He's going to invite us to something that if we accept the invitation, all of God's good gifts are at our disposal. Let's look at it together. And Luke chapter 11, please. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. If you could follow along while I read it aloud, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 11, verses 5 through 8. "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said from within, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." With God's help and for his glory, I'll be preaching tonight on this parable, a friend at midnight. Father, I pray that you would help us to see tonight how desperately in need we are of what only you can give. I pray that your people, I pray that we would accept the invitation to pray, to importunity. I pray you'd use me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, make me a blessing to your people tonight. And if there's anybody here tonight who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that tonight would be the best day of their life, that they would come to know you, and they'd have the faith to ask for salvation. Well, thank you for all that you do. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, this passage starts with an inquiry, a petition on behalf of the disciples. They say in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." The disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to pray. What better person to learn from how to pray? Jesus was praying. Apparently, he was praying all the time. And would you know it, Jesus is still praying today. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. When deep in sin, with no one to care, when all alone and in despair, when the way was dark and no light to see, when I needed him most, he prayed for me. When far from God I did roam, when I had no thought for a heavenly home, a sweet voice I heard from out the blue, thy sins are forgiven, I'm praying for you. Just how you feel, I cannot tell. Within your heart, I cannot see. But this I know, I'm saved from hell, and Jesus still prays for me. It's interesting. They never asked Jesus how to preach. They never asked Jesus how to teach. They never asked him how to sing. They never asked him how to dress. But boy, they sure did ask him how to pray. So then Jesus not only accepts the petition, he also, as a matter of fact, invites it. And he gives them a pattern. A pattern in verses 2 to 4. It says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus tells them what to pray. He gives them a pattern. And we ought to study this model prayer. And if you can follow Jesus' prayer template, you'll have a rich prayer life. There is praising in here. There's repenting. There's asking. There's yielding. P-R-A-Y. That's the Christian's prayer guide. And so if you read the Lord's Prayer, I recommend you do it. Study it. Memorize it. Follow the template. You'll be well on your way in learning how to pray. But then Jesus goes beyond telling them what to pray. He goes on and tells them how to pray. And he gives them some inspiration in verses 5 to 8. And this is where we find our text for tonight. It says in verse number 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Well, that can't be right. What kind of a friend arrives unannounced at those ungodly hours? And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Well, that's not too bad. 3 loaves, enough to feed one person. That's fine, except it's at midnight. Could this not have waited till the morning? But I digress. He says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. Now, I don't know how many friends are in this story. And if I read the word friend one more time, I think I'm going to move on to another passage. But there's so many friends in this story. You know the problem here? I'm noticing that some of y'all don't have a problem with what's going on here. Pastor, I do that all the time. I call my friends at 12 in the a.m. all the time. 1 a.m. in the morning, all the time. You keep that up, you may not have many friends. So he says, and I have nothing to set before him. To which I probably would have said, well, how is that my problem? Verse 7, and he said, he from within shall answer and say, and by the way, I did do some digging. I got my study tools out and I looked at the original Greek languages and I followed how the Aramaic may have been spoken at the time. And according to church tradition, we actually know the names of these fellows. Yeah, it's true. Their names are Ned, Ted, and Fred. This is church tradition right here. This Ned is the man knocking at midnight. Fred is the unexpected traveler. And I think Fred may be the first Hispanic person in the Bible because Fred is short for Alfredo. Come on now, we're digging in the word tonight. Also, Ted is the sleeping neighbor. Mrs. Ned is Ned's wife, Mrs. Ted, Ted's wife. And I hear it that Ed is Ned's teenage son who ate all the leftovers, which called to call him in the first place. So the whole thing becomes Fred needs bread, Ned needs help, Ed ate the bread, Ted has the bread. So having done some due diligence tonight, verse 7. And Ted from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, Ned, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I think Mrs. Ted had something to do with that. Verse 8, I say unto you, though Ted will not rise and give Ned, because he, Ted, is Ned's friend, yet because of Ned's importunity, Ted will rise and give Ned as many as he needeth for Fred. So Fred came, Ed ate, Ned begged, and then Ted slept. So what's the big idea here anyhow? Well, a very important word in this passage is the word importunity. Importunity. Can we say that word together? Importunity. It's only found once in the Bible, and it's right here in this passage. It literally means to be shameless. It has two root words. One word that means without. The other word refers to the face. So to be without a face. In Spanish, we actually have a word for this. It's descarado, without a face. It's kind of like saying, how can you show up here after? How can you show your face after what you did? That kind of shameless. And the parable everyone here is kind of shameless. You know, Fred shows up at midnight unannounced. Descarado. Ned is banging on his friend's door at ungodly hours. That's pretty shameless right there. Ted is unwilling to open the door for his friend. I mean, that is shameless right there. But I guess the real question is, whose importunity does Jesus want us to emulate? And you look with me in verses 9 and 10, and the answer is clear. And I say unto you, ask, shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen. Clearly, Jesus is talking about the one knocking on the door. The guy that had nothing to serve, nowhere else to go, whose reputation was on the line, who had somebody counting on him, the one who went to the only place he could get help and didn't leave until he got it. No matter how embarrassing it was, he asked, he sought, he knocked and knocked and knocked until he received and he found and it was opened unto him. Amen. He had a desperate need. And the only solution was a very humbling solution. Well, now, obviously, is this passage saying that God is, like, sleepy? That God is an angry Ted, hell-bent on refusing our prayers unless we annoy him into submission? Obviously not. Is the teaching here that answered prayer is somehow up to us? And that it's our insistence that will manipulate God and somehow we can strong arm him into doing our bidding? I was speaking to a young man yesterday, just not even a mile from here. He's from Islam. And he spoke a little bit of broken English, but we got to speak a little bit. And I asked him, so what do you think you need to do to be saved, to have salvation? And he said, well, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this. And I said, so it does depend on you? Yep, it depends on me. And I had the joy of sharing with him what the Bible says about how it really does not depend on us, but it depends on him. Is that not why he died on the cross? He did not die on the cross for perfect people. He died on the cross for sinners. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Jesus took my place on the cross. What a glorious exchange. God is not a sleepy Ted. It's important to note that Jesus is using a well-known documented Hebrew teaching style where you compare or you contrast the greater with the lower, the greater with the lower. So this is not to say that Jesus is Ted. As a matter of fact, Jesus is complete, total opposite to the unwilling neighbor. Jesus illustrates the greater by the lesser, and you see this nowhere clearer than in the next few verses. Verse number 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. How many fathers do we have in the house tonight? Amen. It says, how many of you will, if your son asks bread, give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him scorpion? Not even unconverted fathers would do this. So Jesus says in verse 13, if ye then being evil, and all the evil people said, you know he's talking about us, right? If ye then being imperfect, evil human beings, if even you know how to give good gifts unto your children, underline these next three words. How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And there is no greater gift than the Holy Spirit. You're not saved if you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ and get saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. If he gives us the greatest gift of all, who is like unto him? Oh, imagine that. Dad, I'm hungry. Here's a rock. Dad, can I have a fish? Here's a snake. Dad, can I have an egg? Here's a scorpion. Nobody would treat their children that way. And Jesus says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more? That's what this is about. It's not about Ted. It's not about bread. It's about the good Heavenly Father, who is more than willing More than willing. You don't have to knock on the door if you're saved. You're in the house with the Father. He's not looking for excuses to say no to you. He's willing and ready to hear all of his children. He invites us to ask. So when you have a need that you cannot meet, can I get a witness? You ever had a need you couldn't meet? If you have a need you can't meet, bring it shamelessly and persistently to the Father who delights in helping his children. So just a few, four applications and we can go home, and hopefully we'll go home and we'll sleep through midnight without somebody calling us for bread. Number one, admit your need. Admit it. You need God. I need God. When you're swept off your feet, it is time to get on your knees, Brother Barber would say. Ned's whole problem begins with, I have nothing. We see it in verse 6. A friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. That may be the most important phrase in this parable. Not, I have little, I almost have enough. He says, I have nothing. And prayer begins when our self-sufficiency ends. Our pastor said it well. Prayerlessness is a declaration of independence from God. Have you been trying to carry that load alone? What burden have you stopped praying about? Have you convinced yourself that you've got this? Admit your need. Why won't you come down every once in a while to this altar where many saints of old here at Worth have bended the knee and sought God's help? Why won't you do it? Is it pride? Is it because you don't want to admit your neediness before him? It's not because the preaching isn't good. I've seen it. Two people can sit before the same sermon, the same message, and come away with two different responses. Oftentimes the problem is not the doctrine. The problem is our desire. It's our pride. We don't want to admit how much we need the Lord. And would to God that we had some persistent Christians tonight who were ready and willing to admit their need before God, and they didn't care who knew it or who saw it. Truth is, we're all needy for his presence, his power, his wisdom, his guidance, his direction, his mercy. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. They are fresh and they've never failed. Great is thy faithfulness, cried the prophet Jeremiah. Woe is me, cried Isaiah the prophet, before receiving some purifying touch from the Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner, cried the publican as he rose up, justified, forgiven by God above. Admit it, we need him, and we need him desperately. Desperately. You can't live the Christian life without Christ. So we need to admit our need. Number two, we need to ask boldly. The Bible says that because of his importunity, he will rise and give him everything that he needs. We have to remember old Knock and Ted. And ask shamelessly, persistently, boldly. Old Knock and Ted. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And I think we ought to be in the business of asking great things of God. Amen. Matthew 7:11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Ask boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ask boldly. A first century Jew would have been stunned by this language. The average Israelite could never enter the holy place. The high priest entered the holiest only once a year. Yet every believer is now invited to come directly to God, to his presence through Christ. Ask boldly, my friends. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. The friend at midnight knocked on a neighbor's door. We do not knock on a neighbor's door. We come boldly before the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If an earthly friend eventually rose from bed, how much more will our Heavenly Father hear his children? To ask boldly. Keep on praying for the salvation of that loved one. Ask boldly. Ask God for your marriage. Ask God to change him. Ask God to change her. Ask God for wisdom in that decision. Ask boldly. Ask God to provide for your need. Ask God to bless your ministry. God is the one inviting us to ask. So ask boldly. There are 650 prayers in the Bible, long prayers, short prayers, medium prayers, daytime prayers, all kinds of prayers. Believe it or not, one guy prayed out of the belly of a whale, a fish actually. It's not how long, how beautiful, how flattering your prayers are that matters, but how fervent they are, how bold they are. So admit your need. Ask boldly. What are you asking God for these days? God, bless me. How would you know if God answered that prayer? Ask specifically. It's not the message, but it's interesting that he asked for 3 loaves of bread. He knew what he needed. Ask boldly. Ask in such a way that if God answered that prayer, you would know it. Because only God can do it. So ask boldly. And then 3, keep asking. Verse 9 through 10, ask, seek, knock. It means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice the connection between prayer and perseverance. This prayer business is not always an easy business. Often the prayer room is a war room. It is a battleground. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be strengthened in the prayer closet. But keep praying anyways. Keep asking even when the answer doesn't come when you expect. Keep asking, even when adversity comes knocking on your door, when opposition, setbacks, and trials arrive in the waiting, in the dark and lonely midnight hours. Keep asking. Keep asking. Don't let the devil rob you of your faith. God is working all things together for your good and for his glory. Let patience have its perfect work in your life. His ways are higher. His thoughts are beyond human comprehension. Oh, but his hand is always within reach. Keep praying. His line is never busy. God is up to something. God is up to something. Don't ever lose your hope, Christian. Keep on praying. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Some of you may have been praying for a prodigal. Maybe a couple of those. Keep praying. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Keep asking. Maybe some have been praying for a lost spouse. Keep praying. Jesus invites you to keep asking. Some of you have been praying for healing. Keep praying and keep asking God. Keep believing him. Some of you have prayed for direction, for wisdom, for discernment. Keep on praying. God's a God who gives wisdom, who gives direction. He corrects our paths when we trust in him with all of our heart. Keep praying. Don't get out of line. You might lose your place in line. Stay in line and keep praying. Keep asking. Keep knocking. How do you pray? Do we pray this way? And 4, remember who you're asking. Remember who you're asking. And this is probably the most important point of tonight. So if you got nothing, let's get this one. Remember who's behind the door. The point is not that one of these friends was persistent. The point is that God is not like Ted. And unlike Ted, your father isn't asleep. Unlike Ted, your father isn't annoyed. Unlike Ted, your father isn't avoiding you. He's inviting you. So don't forget who God is. Trust in his character. That's why we pray passionately. That's why we pray persistently. That's why we pray specifically, because we know who we're talking to. Our Father. Our perfect Heavenly Father. The church at Laodicea said, "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." That's what they said. Yet Christ said they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And the problem was not their lack of resources. The problem was their lack of dependence. And prayer begins when we admit, "Lord, I need you." And perhaps tonight, after all this talk about us knocking on God's door, some of us here need to remember that there's another knock in the Bible. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Could it be that God is the one knocking tonight? Prayer is not merely getting something from God. Prayer is being with God. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. It's sitting at his table. It's hearing his voice through his word and pouring out your heart before him. And Jesus says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. The greatest blessing of prayer is not the answer. The greatest blessing of prayer is the Father himself. I told you about an invitation I almost refused. Almost. But by God's grace, I went to that graduation. I would have missed God's will for my life. I would have missed blessings I never even knew existed. And tonight, Jesus extends to all of us another invitation. No, not to a graduation. Not to a convention. Not to a store. He invites us to come boldly before the throne to the Father. Ned needed some bread. And maybe there's someone here tonight, you need a little more than bread. You need Jesus. Ned's problem lasted for one night. If you're here today without Christ, your problem will last an eternity. When you close your eyes here tonight for the last time, where will you open them? Where will you spend all of eternity? I'm so thankful that when I was 14 years old, I swallowed my pride. I set aside the shame and humbly asked Jesus to save my soul from hell. He cleansed me of all my sins. He came into my heart, became my Lord and Savior. I asked him, and he answered. And I didn't have to wait for that one. He answered right away at the very moment. He took my sins away, declared me righteous, not by any merit of my own, but solely by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. I grew up in a church. I was in church all my life. I had a drug problem. My parents drugged me to church every week. That's what it was. I sang in church. I served in church. I knew the message. I'd made a profession of faith, but that's all it was. An empty profession, but there was never any real conviction of sin. I hadn't realized my desperate need for a Savior. But thank God he came to me when I could not come to him. He brought conviction of sin to my teenage heart. I called on the name of the Lord, the only one who could save me. Boy, and he sure did. And if you're here tonight, you've never asked. You've never asked him to redeem your soul from hell. Jesus invites you tonight. Ask shamelessly, fearlessly, specifically. Tell him. Don't wait. You waited long enough. Tell him, "Jesus, save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Take me to heaven. I don't want my sin. I want your son. Give me eternal life." And he will, because God is good. You know, God doesn't bless us and give us all these good things because we deserve it. He does it because that's just who he is. He is good. And he loves you. But there are some things he won't do unless you ask. And we have not because we ask not. So let's take inspiration from this story tonight. And not just have a prayer or something or another. Let's really live prayer. Let's really pray without ceasing. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this passage. Father, we learn so much from your teachings. Your stories, every time we hear them, are fresh, convicting. Father, I think all of us in the room tonight would admit we don't pray this way all the time. And that reveals more about us than it does about you. We lack persistence in prayer. We lack perseverance in prayer because we forget who we're talking to. I pray you'd forgive us tonight, Lord, for the sin of prayerlessness, and that you'd bring a revival of prayer in every heart tonight. Help us to take you up on the invitation to pray boldly.